So, thank you very much for the kind introduction. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure for me to present you today the latest news in EU legislation. And actually, I'm going to make two different presentations. The first one before the coffee break will be based on the approval system or registration system, as it was mentioned earlier, in Europe. Why? Because, but first of all, because this is essential, essential to explain how the approval system works, to understand then what we find in the residues in food and feed, and to understand also the legislation on pesticide residues. But also because we have recently finalized a big review program on all existing active substances on the EU market. And we've recently also finalized the new legislation that will enter into force in about 18 months in this area. So I think it will be very interesting for you to listen to the latest development in the EU on the pesticide legislation for approval. So first, before starting with the subject, just a few words on the Directorate General of the European Commission dealing with pesticides approval and pesticide residues. So our mission is to protect consumers and to protect their health. So we have a directorate dealing with the safety of the food chain, and within this directorate, a unit is only dealing with chemicals, contaminants, and pesticides. What does it mean? It means that, and this is our slogan, we look after what you do not see, because you cannot see with a microscope or a magnifier contaminants like heavy metals, dioxins, but also pesticides. And these are very, very important issues of concern for our consumers, and I can assure you that although our legislation is quite strict, and it will be even stricter in future on the pesticide regulation, EU consumers are asking us to do more and more, so they are never satisfied. So what is the regulatory framework in the pesticide area? I think the best way to think of it is to look at it in a life cycle perspective, let's say. So we have a pre-marketing system of approval. What does it mean? It means that a pesticide cannot be placed on the market in the EU and cannot be used if it is not previously approved and registered. We have a brand new regulation regulating the use phase, so how a pesticide should be best used, how equipment should be certified, limitations in the application, and this is a new directive on the sustainable use of pesticides that will enter into force together with the new legislation that I will present to you in the second part. And in the end phase, we have a regulation 396/2005 on the setting of maximum residue levels in food and feed. So this is the scheme, and this is the representation, graphic representation of our regulation. Now, if we focus on the first part, Directive 91/414, this directive lays down actually a dual system for pre-marketing approval. What does it mean? It means that we have a system to approve active substances, active ingredients at EU level. So a substance is evaluated once, and it is evaluated for all the 27 member states. The final decision on the approval is taken by the European Commission. But When it comes to plant protection products, so the final formulations, the decision on the authorization, in this case we say that member states can authorize, not approve, authorize, the decision on the authorization is given at national level by each member state because of the varying agroclimatic conditions in the member states of the different crops that are grown in the member states. So this is very important to understand that we have a separation of responsibilities. The EU is responsible for the approval of the active ingredients, but member states then have a responsibility to authorize the final protection product and also to carry out controls on the use, on the correct use of the plant protection product. So, in the framework of this directive that was adopted in 1991, so it's quite old now, we created, we set up a review program in 1993. We decided to review all existing active substances on the EU market, so those active substances that were on the market before 1993, and we call them existing active substances. All substances placed on the market after 1993 are called new substances. But basically, despite this separation, the criteria and basically the process of evaluation are the same. And this process is very simple. It's very simple on paper, but it takes quite a long to carry out the evaluation. So we first need to have data because all our decisions are based on science. So we asked an applicant, which is a chemical industry, a company, to submit a full dossier covering all the chemical physical properties, analytical methods, toxicology, impact on the environment and residues. This dossier is evaluated by a selected member state, so one of the 27, and we call it rapporteur member state. The member state comes to a first evaluation. This first evaluation, but is not the basis for the final decision. Because remember, we have 27 member states. So we need to consult them all, but we also have a European Food Safety Authority. So what we do is to ask the European Food Safety Authority to carry out a peer review with all the member states. And the European Food Safety Authority has then the task to conclude on the risk assessment of the selected active substance. So the EFSA conclusions are the basis for the decision making, which is a task for the European Commission. The European Commission then decides whether the active substance can be approved or not approved. And which are the evaluation criteria that we consider at a European Commission level? Well, first of all, we look at the impacts on health. Impacts on health can be of various nature, not only occupational exposure. Of course, we care for the operator exposure, and this is a very important issue we look at. But also another important aspect that will become even more essential in future with the new regulation is the exposure of residents in agricultural areas because they are more exposed to pesticides. We look at the consumer exposure. And this is also an essential issue when setting MRLs. We care for groundwater contamination. And I can tell you that in the last year we have taken so many decisions on non-approval of active substances only because of risk of groundwater contamination. So you don't need to have all these criteria fulfilled together. Only one of them, if there is no safe use for one of them, the substance is not approved. And of course, we look at the impact on non-target organisms because pesticides can be very toxic and have undesirable effects on non-target organisms. So what does it happen when a substance is evaluated? Basically, we have two alternatives. Either it is approved or it is not approved. If it is approved, the approval period is for 10 years as a standard basis. We have exceptions because we can also be flexible. But I'm not talking now about the exceptions. Normally, the inclusion is for 10 years. If a substance is not approved, then we have a phase-out period of 18 months normally to give the possibility to farmers to use existing stocks. Of course, with limitations that have to be set by the member states. Just to clarify, after the 10 years, there will be then a renewal process. So a new dossier and new studies might be submitted for a new evaluation. And the result might be negative for the second evaluation. So what happens in terms of also information we give to third countries when we take a decision or we envisage taking a decision? The draft measure for the non-inclusion, so when a substance has not been approved, we notify to WTO using the TBT notification, technical barriers to trade. And this is to inform third countries that sell active substances to Europe that we are going to phase out uses of the substance in Europe. We have a standard notification period of 60 days, and after that period, we take into consideration any comments, and we finally adopt the non-inclusion. But this does not mean that the decision on non-approval will have an immediate impact on MRLs. So the notification to WTO by using the TBT does not mean that we are going to reduce the MRLs immediately. The decision on MRLs will come at a later stage, will come after the final decision, and will be subject to the evaluation of the EFSA conclusions on the MRLs. What does it mean? It means that when a decision on non-approval is taken, we ask the EFSA, and the EFSA actually has the obligation to do so, to review all the existing MRLs on the substance, and they have 1 year to do so. And in this review, they will check whether Codex MRLs exist or if there are import tolerances already set in our legislation, if there are new requests for import tolerances from third countries, because of course the substance will no longer be used in Europe. So on the basis of the EFSA evaluation, we will either reduce all MRLs at the limit of determination, but if no Codex MRLs exist or if no import tolerance exists, or we can reduce only a number of MRLs, those related to uses in Europe, and leave the other MRLs, like Codex MRLs, like import tolerances, in the legislation. So a decision on non-approval will not necessarily have a negative impact on trade, because we accept international standards on the condition that they are safe for our consumers. So basically, from a decision on non-approval to a modification, entry into force of the new MRLs, you have to count at least 18 months for the legislative process and for the risk assessment that has to be done by EFSA. Now, let's move to the review program on existing substances. So this review program, which started in 1993, concerned about 1,000 substances. And to simplify the work, we divided those substances in four big lists. We have recently finalized this huge work. So it was finalized on the 11th of March. So it was a good timing to have the symposium now, actually. And to mark the end of the review program, we launched a communication campaign, including we put a big banner on the main building of the Commission in Brussels to tell our citizens that our food has become greener. But we also prepared a fact sheet that you have received together with the documentation this morning and a brand new database that I'm going to show you. Just three figures to summarize the result of the review program. So, as I said, it concerned about 1,000 substances. However, we didn't get for all those substances a dossier from the chemical companies, actually. Most of the substances were not supported in the review program. And as you can see, 67% of them have been not approved because of a lack of a dossier. So no support from the industry. Or because a dossier, although initially submitted, was finally withdrawn by the industry. We have approved 26% of the substances after the finalization of the risk assessment. So it means that for those substances we have evaluated the supported uses and we have concluded that safe uses exist. And only 7% of the substances have been not approved after a peer review. So actually, if you look at the substances on which we had a dossier and we had data to look at the safety, we approved the majority of them. So the majority of substances have been withdrawn from the market because not supported. But I can also tell you that, our farmers are very much concerned because they have fewer substances available, also to fight resistance. But we also know that of the 67% of the substances, now industry is willing to come back with a new improved dossier. Whenever they have withdrawn, dossier for about 60 substances in the last year, and they are now willing to resubmit a dossier, an improved dossier, by June this year. We also have the stream of substances after 1993. These are new active substances. And the situation here is quite different because we receive normally good dossiers for those substances. These are safer products. I like to say they are new generation products, although in 1993 perhaps is already not new generation, but the newest ones. And we have approved most of them. 82 substances have been approved so far, but many more are in the pipeline, so are in the review process. We have 55 substances now under evaluation by the European Food Safety Authority, and we hope to be able to approve them one day. So I mentioned that together with the communication campaign, we have created a new database. This is actually online, available since last week, since Monday last week. And this database gives you the possibility to search for active substances, the active substances evaluated under Directive 91414, both existing and new substances. This is the main page of the database on active substances. There is no time now to go through the database. I suggest you have the web link on the fact sheet that you received this morning, so I think you can play with it. But the result, if you select whatever substance, would be a page like that. This is an example on pyrachlorstrobin. This is a new active substance. So we give you indication on the status of the active substance under Directive 91414, whether it is included or approved or not approved, or if it is still pending, so the risk assessment is ongoing. And we put web links to the final decision, to the EFSA conclusions, But what is also important, I think, for third countries is to understand which toxicological endpoints we apply for consumer risk assessment. So we indicate the values of the acute reference dose, ADI, and AOEL for the operator exposure, and there is a direct link to the database on maximum residue levels that I will show you later in the next presentation. So this was actually the major achievement in the framework of Directive 91414. But this directive now is quite old because we created it in 1991. So we started since already 2002 working on a new regulatory framework on the approval of active substances. This regulatory framework will become applicable quite soon. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you what the number is of the new legislation. So what we know is that it will be published in the next few months, so it will be a regulation of 2009, but as it is not published yet, not adopted, we don't have the number. So it will be a regulation, we don't know, 2009. And together with this regulation, there will be a publication of the Directive on Sustainable Use, which is a new piece of legislation that did not exist before. There were many different legislations regulating the use phase. This was not very effective, so we have decided to put them together in a single text and also to have new and stricter requirements for the use phase. So, as said, this regulation will be published. We expect the publication mid-2009, in June, but it will not be applicable immediately. So we give your operators and member states 18 months to adapt. So the application date will be after 18 months after the publication. So it means by the end of 2010, the new regulation will become applicable. What is important to understand since the very beginning is that this new regulation will have quite new, as you will see, new criteria for approval, but those criteria will not be applicable, these new rules will not apply immediately to all substances. So there will be a transitional period, transition between the old legislation and the new legislation. So the new rules will apply to new substances, but be careful, new substances in terms of the new legislation. So substances placed on the market after 2010, so as from 2011, for which a dossier will be submitted as from 2011. For all the other substances, so all the other substances already approved under Directive 91414, or in the process of approval in Directive 91414, the old rules will still apply. So we will apply the new rules at renewal of approval after 10 years. Which are the main changes of this legislation? First of all, we maintain, this is not a change, we maintain the dual system. So active substances is still approved at EU level and plant protection products at national level. But we want to increase the harmonization and the availability also of plant protection products in Europe. And therefore we have introduced what we call a zonal system for the authorizations of plant protection products in Europe. We have divided Europe in three zones, with similar agroclimatic conditions, so northern of Europe, central Europe, and southern of Europe. And within those three zones, member states will be, forced to mutually recognize the authorizations of plant protection products that they give at national level. So let's say if in the southern zone, well, I'm from Italy, so I take Italy as an example. So Italy If Italy decides to give, to grant an authorization on a certain plant protection product, the results of this authorization will be used by other member states like Spain immediately to mutually recognize the authorization, therefore avoiding the repetition of a new risk assessment on the same product. So this will increase the availability of plant protection products to farmers. Another important major change in this regulation is that we introduce criteria for approval or cut-off criteria to exclude a number of substances. These are based on health and on the environment. So we will not approve in future substances classified as carcinogens, mutagens, toxic for reproductions, category 1 or 2 in Europe, or endocrine disruptors. And we will not approve substances having an impact on the environment, so being persistent organic pollutants, PBT, very persistent and very bioaccumulative. Although there are possibilities for derogation. So, and this possibility for derogation only applies to certain substances. So there will be no possibility for derogations for substances fulfilling the environmental criteria, not at all. There will be no possibility for derogations for substances being mutagens or for carcinogens and toxic for production category 1, so the most dangerous ones. Derogations will possibly apply to the other substances, carcinogens, toxic for reproduction category 2, endocrine disruptors, but the approval period will not exceed 5 years, and it will be given under very strict conditions to minimize the exposure, and only when there is no other mean to control a serious danger to plant health. So this derogation is actually very limited to, it will be limited only to few substances. I skip this. So another important element in the new legislation is a substitution principle. What does it mean? For those substances that do not meet the cutoff criteria, but are although of very high concern, for example, high risks, highly toxic substances, we will ask member states to do a comparative assessment at national level when granting authorization. So, first of all, the Commission will be responsible for the creation of a list of those high-risk substances subject to substitution, and this list will be done by 2013 of candidates for substitution, and member states will be asked to carry out a comparative assessment at their national level to see whether other alternatives, including non-chemical methods, are available in order to replace those substances. We also have new rules and new provisions to regulate low-risk substances. So in order to push farmers also and also the industry to promote those substances, they will be approved for a longer period, so they will be approved for 15 years instead of 10 years, and we will have a separate list, so it will be clear which substances are low-risk substances. And for basic substances like foodstuff, we have, for example, fatty acids in our list. We have also garlic, which is listed as a plant protection product. So we don't need to carry out a risk assessment because they are regulated under other pieces of legislation. So basically, they will be approved for an unlimited period of time, only if there is no concern, of course. And we will broaden the scope of the pesticide legislation. Now we only focus on the active substances. In future, we will also regulate safeners, synergies, and coformulants. So for safeners and synergies, there will be data requirements, and there will be a review program to be prepared and to be set as the one we started in 1993 for the active substances. This review program will be defined by 2014. So there are And for coformulants, there will be no positive list. We will only prepare a negative list of coformulants. So those coformulants that must not be introduced in a formulation, in a plant protection product, and these rules will be defined again by 2014. I finished. So I skip another more slide because I have 0 minutes left. Other main changes in the legislation, just to mention briefly, we have a brand new obligation to avoid the repetition of animal testing, and this is a policy area. Now in the Commission, we really try to avoid the repetition of animal testing, but this does not mean that we will enhance the use of human studies, of human data. So the legislation is very strict on human data. Human data cannot be used to lower the safety factor. So industry will be asked to look for alternatives to new studies replacing the animal studies. And another important point is that we want to improve the information to residents, to those living in agricultural areas. So farmers will have the obligation, whenever residents ask to do so, to inform them before spraying. So they have to inform residents that on that day, on that time, they will be spraying with the specific pesticide. And residents will also have access to records, so to the records of farmers on the use of specific pesticide. Another, the second bullet point relates to a possibility. The Commission will draw up a report on the costs and benefits of a better traceability of pesticides, because as I told you, our EU consumers are very much concerned, and they want to know when they go to the supermarket, they want to know if they buy apples, oranges or whatever, they want to know which pesticide has been used on those crops. So this information now is not compulsory. It could become compulsory in future, but we have to evaluate the possibility to do so. So we have to make a report. So, and with this, again, in the new legislation, we will improve the protection of human health and the environment, which is already very strict in the current one. And although maintaining the dual system, we will make sure that farmers can have access to more plant protection products. So improved harmonization system in Europe for the formulation. And we have also, this I did not cover because there is no time, we have also introduced clear deadlines for all actors involved in the risk assessment and in the risk management, so that whenever a dossier is introduced in Europe, the applicants can know by which deadline the evaluation will be finalized and the plant protection product will be authorized at national level. And with this, I finished my presentation. Thank you very much. Looking forward for your questions.